Me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 then. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and the 16th verse reads, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." What a promise. What confidence we may have in God and His Word. Father, once again we bow before You and plead for mercy and strength. We know the days in which we live are difficult days, deceptive days, and there certainly are fiery darts aimed at all of God's people. Please bless and help us in our day to stand, and having done all to stand, stand. God, give us strength, give us courage. So bless us now, we pray, and bless the Word of God. And once again, bless my brothers, my fellow brothers that are standing today to preach the Word. Help them to be instant in season and out of season. Give them courage to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. And oh, that we might be filled with the love of God. Shed it abroad in our hearts. We may know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to stand with that true love of God that will have the courage to speak the truth in love. Bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name, and magnify Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We know that God has done a marvelous thing for us in calling us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We know that God has translated us. God has set us as those who were once His enemies. And we were thorough enemies. We were born with rebellion in our spirit. We exhibited it from the earliest of ages. And God could have let us go right on in our stubborn will. We could have been those that breathed out threatenings and slaughter as our brother once did. And we have encountered those who despise Christ and despise the gospel. We've met them. We've encountered them in the course of our own lives. Who, if they could have gotten away with it, would have physically injured us. And there are some of our brethren today who are standing in China, in Iran, the Middle East, in Africa. And they do not have the liberties that we have today. And they are standing at the threshold of suffering and death if they are to stand for Christ. And we are commanded to pray for our brethren that are in bonds. But we do not pray as those that do not have hope. We pray as those that are the victors. And God will enable us to stand. And even should we come to those final days, I'm reading in my own devotions in regards to the end times out of the book of Daniel. And my Bible tells me that there is one that is coming to the face of this earth, and he will wear out the saints, the scripture says. So greater days of suffering and difficulty are coming. And should we experience in those last days war on the saints and experience them in a far greater degree than we or even our brethren are experiencing them now, we will still have the Word of God, and we will still have the shield of faith. May I say that this shield of faith shields the child of God during the times of testing. This faith that God has given to us is our very shield. And it is a faith that has looked away from ourselves and has looked to Him and has looked to the authority of His Word. And there we stand. And there we stand with our brethren. Our Bible describes wiles, W-I-L-E-S, wiles. It describes wiles and darts as the descriptive terms used in our text to define our encounters with our enemy. The word wiles means craft. Very interesting that Daniel says of the one coming at the end, he will also subdue with craft. Deception. And we are readily seeing it in our world today. What deception there is, taking men away from the revelation of the Word of God. For a woman to think she's no longer a woman and ought to be a man. For a man to think he's no longer a man and ought to be a woman. Such are an abomination to God according to the record of Scripture. And it doesn't make any difference what men say. What counts is what God says. Wiles, the Bible says, craft, deceit. And it puts it in plural terms. It says in verse 11, the whole armor of God will enable us to stand against the wiles. They are ever changing, but the lie is still the lie. God's truth is still the truth. And He will stand, and it will stand no matter what. So the Scripture uses the word wiles. The Scripture also uses the word fiery darts. The Greek, belos, B-E-L-O-S, may sound almost vaguely familiar to you, especially if you've ever gone to one of the old-timey places where their blacksmith is using the bellows to pump, to fire up those coals, to heat up that metal to make it so that it can be worked. Fiery darts. Have you experienced any of those lately? Have you had hell hot on your heels? Raising accusations against you? Challenging the Word of God? God has provided a sure defense for all of His people. And what He has given, as I have emphasized in the reading, will quench. God's Word says, shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It is not spoken of uncertainty, it is spoken of certainty. But that does not mean that it's easy. Nor does it mean that it is simple. and the pain of suffering is genuine, and the hurt and the wound is real. This morning I want us to focus, as you may have noticed, on the church sign, the faith that saves and soldiers. We are not looking to the figurative picture of the shield that the Apostle Paul spoke of, roughly the Roman soldier of about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet tall, whereby a man could stand and defend himself with this metal-clad shield. The fiery darts, the javelins would be hurled. But all of that's just figurative, because what really defends the child of God is faith. Faith. Faith that is absolutely looking away from the circumstance and the suffering and the sorrow and sees a mighty sovereign Savior. Faith that saves. Let me ask you to turn back in your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 10. I first of all want to consider this negatively. Since we're considering the faith that saves. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 reads, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." When we begin to speak about a faith that saves, and are looking at it as a faith that looks away from ourselves and looks to something outside, we're not resting on our view of our faith. We're not looking and saying, well, I have faith, and believing that something inherent inside of me that's going to hold me up and give me the ability to stand. No, I'm looking absolutely outside of myself. So as we look at this faith and of this shield of faith negatively, we see that Israel is like all of our neighbors and all of the world around us. They think that they will be saved. They even think they'll be saved by their much repetitious of prayers. The Buddhist who spins his prayer wheel, has the little prayers on the inside, and hopes that all of those circling prayers will go out and somehow commend them, that they reach the place of nirvana. No, those prayers will not save them. That is a righteousness they're hoping that will extend from them and their devotion. It is no different. All of men's religions are the same. They all think that something that they are doing is going to provide for them the righteousness that they need to be delivered from this world. But only the righteousness of God, as found by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, will save us. So Paul is citing Israel here, and really, they are the watershed of all of mankind, who think that somehow something they're doing will give them a righteousness to stand before this God, our God, or whatever God they're hoping to appease. Our faith is not looking at something we have done. We have submitted to the righteousness of another. We have submitted to the righteousness of God that's only found in Christ and Christ alone. Remind you again that this that I've written down in my Bible, I'll read it one more time for you. That our brother Spurgeon said, faith is not self in action, but self forsaken, self abhorred, self put away, that the soul may trust in Christ and trust Christ alone. The gospel is true, and it is that truth that we stand on. I mentioned to you that we may show this little DVD here on the New Year's night about the Mok tribe in Papua New Guinea and how that this brother went there, and he may not have been theologically on the same page, but he loved the Savior and he took the gospel to these people. And several years of him learning their language and teaching them the animals of the Bible, as I mentioned earlier here in the Sunday school hour. And when he finally came to tell them the gospel story and about Christ hanging on the cross, there's a video that in this video, he's taking a picture of all the tribe when they hear this. They cannot believe God is going to let his son to die. And when he bows his head, when you see their response to this, they immediately begin to mourn. They're broken. And he leaves them thinking that. Grief-stricken. The tribe is grief-stricken. But then he comes back. And he says, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And they are astonished to hear this story. And one old woman of the Mok tribe finally cries out, "Etal," in her language, "Etal." It is true. It is true. I wonder the times that you've heard the gospel, and your friends have heard the gospel, and your neighbors have heard the gospel, but they've never come to that etal moment. They may have only said it here, but it may have never awakened in their soul as it did the Mok tribe so long ago. When Jesus Christ and his gospel became the truth to their heart, and they were changed from a pagan tribe in a moment. And God saved a vast number of them and established a church among them. When they looked away from the ancestral worship of their ancestors that had died, that they had prayed to, and that they had suffered under that tyranny, to trusting in Christ, the gospel, etal, it is true. You are still in the book of Romans. Please look at Romans here in chapter 10, and let's begin reading at the 10th verse. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. And verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Truth. Men have got to hear the story, the message of Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, and of his righteousness and his righteousness alone. Not the prayer that a man would pray, but looking away from anything and everything, not his baptism, not church, not the creed that he stands on, but the Christ of the creed. And so, it is recorded that God took Abraham out in the night and had him look up into the heavens. And so told Abraham, count the stars, Abraham. Such is the number of those of your children that are coming. An innumerable host. And the Bible says, he believed. He believed the word of God. The Hebrew word is Aman, A-M-A-N. And it holds the idea in the Old Testament and translated into the New Testament Greek. The word meaning confidence, conviction, assurance, steadfastness. And so our faith is looking away from anything on this earth. And we're looking to the Savior, Christ himself. So we're saying all of this because God has given us the shield of faith. Of faith. How do we stand against the wiles of the devil? How are we to stand against these fiery darts that are coming and more are on the way? How do we withstand the strategy of Satan himself? I thought interesting that Sister Kay reads to us out of Isaiah 14. And we have this being called Lucifer who says, I will be like the Most High. I'll be like God. I'm going to dethrone God. I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. And yet the scripture says he'll be brought down to hell. And that the man, all of mankind will narrowly, this was who I feared. Now, admittedly, our enemy is no match for us. We're no match for him. His wiles, his deception are great. And I do by no means mock him. But I know that God has given us a confidence in his Son and a confidence in his gospel. and we stand by faith. Here is the very doctrinal statement of our own church. The grace of faith, God has given us a grace of faith. We looked at that last week there in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. The grace of faith whereby the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts and is ordinarily wrought by the ministry of the Word. This is what we believe. We put it in this language. We've agreed with our brethren from the past as we have heard the Word of God and we stand on it. Ours is a saving faith. And by this faith a Christian believeth to be true whatsoever is revealed in the Word of God for the authority of God Himself. So we look at this book as the absolute authority for everything in our life. Our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not in a prayer we prayed. Our faith is not in acknowledging Him or coming forward in a service. We're not looking to something we've done. We glory in the cross. It is a faith that saves, but it is also a faith that soldiers. God in His grace has granted to us a faith to believe the Savior. And we trust Him and Him alone. And Satan will come in his many wiles and darts of attack to challenge our faith, to look to Christ, and to suggest that there's some way we can make broad. This is what we're seeing in our day. Jesus made that distinction about between the broad and the narrow. We're seeing that churches today are trying to make it broad. And He said, there's vast numbers in this broad way. But Jesus said, straight is the way. Narrow. And the fewer are there that find that way. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a narrow way. It has constricted us. And we're not disturbed by that. In fact, we delight in this. Because it has taken us away from anything of ourselves and caused us to look to Christ and Christ alone. And that faith enables us to soldier on. It is a faith that God has given to us that has saved us, and a faith that will enable us to stand. Ephesians is the picture of a soldier, isn't it? Prepared and ready for battle. Ready to face whatever the enemy is going to hurl at us. And we have a significant foe. But we have a mighty Savior. Turn in your Bibles, please, with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to read the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 2 and then move to verse 9. But chapter 2 verse 1 reads, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That might be a good portion of scripture, sister, for you to give to that lady who's having some challenge here. God has the thorough right as the King of Kings and the Sovereign Holy One to give a just recompense of war, reward. Verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." Now verse 9, join with me there. But we see Jesus. He's not an angel. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Then that narrow way, not the broad way, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our eyes have looked away from ourselves. Our eyes are on our captain. How can we fend ourselves from all of these fiery darts? What is this shield of faith? It is a shield of faith as we are looking to our eyes are on the captain. Our view is on the one who has withstood all that the enemy threw at him. And he is our Redeemer, our Savior, our Captain, our Lord. He has suffered all of the pangs of death and all of the insults of the enemy. Nothing that you and I could ever receive from the enemy would by any means touch what our Savior's gone through. What is this shield of faith? What is it that will enable us to soldier on for Christ? Our eyes are looking to the captain, to the one who has stood for us, stood with us. And he may hurl his accusations, and he may give his suggestions, but we are standing by the blood of Jesus Christ. You might take your Bibles at some point and begin at the Psalms. Psalm 3 will be the first mention where God says, He is my shield. God is my shield. So if we're talking about the shield of faith, we must be seeing God as our very shield. His faith given to us, his faith on which we stand, his word that defends us and secures us. We will soldier on by the grace of faith that has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's conclude, if you would, by turning with me to 1 Timothy. You must know that this would eventually be my landing point at the close of the message. 1 Timothy chapter 6. As Paul writes to Timothy as what we look at as the pastoral epistles. And he says here in 1 Timothy, as he writes to his dear beloved son in the faith, he says to him, "But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, it doesn't seem that those those list of words bring you to the place of fighting. But they are the fight that we take. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. None of those terms are the terms that we would use to apply to a Marine. None of those terms are the terms we would apply to a soldier as one readied for battle. But these are the terms that we apply to the soldier of Christ. He says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. How do we prepare ourselves for the fiery darts? What is this shield of faith? How are we to soldier on as the people of God? We have our eyes on the captain. And the language we read in verse 11 is the description of the language of our captain. He will come one day, riding on a mighty horse, and out of his mouth will go a sharp two-edged sword by which he will smite the nations. There will come a day when he will come and his vesture will be dipped in blood. There is coming a day as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he will not come as he once came. But today, we stand in the character of his first coming. Men of meekness and yet men and women of faith and steadfastness and courage, yet full of meekness and love to sinners. That's how Jesus stands to sinners today. Aren't you glad? He still loves sinners and is still forgiving sinners. God help us to soldier on. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, well, first of all, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he writes again and says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard and heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And might we say that here may be one of the little clues of the wiles of the devil? For God's men and God's people to become entangled with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Are you not glad that Jesus Christ has so chosen you, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, to be a good soldier? Soldier on, looking to the captain of your salvation, who became that perfect captain for you by the sufferings that he endured. And so he says at the conclusion of his letter in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. May I remind you that when the Apostle Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, and he says to them, above all, applying this faith to all of the pieces of the armor, above all, taking the shield of the faith, stand in the faith, keep your eyes on the captain, and God will enable us to stand. And having done all to stand, stand. Our days will grow darker, but they will be full of light if we keep our eyes on the captain. Heavenly Father, thank you for our Savior, for the captain of our salvation that was made perfect through sufferings. And Lord, I know that your word has said that we also would enter into the kingdom of heaven through sufferings, one way or another, to some degree or another. We know we are in a fight. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, the victory is yours. You are the risen Lord. You are ascended. You are seated at the right hand of the throne. And all power, all authority is given unto you in heaven and in earth. Help us not to fear what man can do to us.